for 11 years in a row. Ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Come on in, y'all. We've got the doors thrown wide open for you, the Arizona homeowner, to come into my house. I'll pour you a cup of coffee. I'll sit you down on the couch, or we'll sit at the breakfast table, and let's talk about whatever you want to talk about concerning your house, home, castle, or cabin right here at Rosie on the House. I don't know why, but I got the biggest hankering for omelets and chicken right now.
And some wabbit?
And some wabbit, yeah.
Hey, wabbit.
Wabbit. Oh, mercy. So thanks again to Greg and Kari for that whole last segment on backyard livestock. And we're going to continue the conversation on yards here for this hour. Our hashtag is creating a landscape to last. And we're fortunate to bring in a particular respected expert in the field, Miss Janet Weibel. She's registered landscape architect and certified arborist. We were introduced to Janet by our arborist friend, John Eisenhower. And this is a repeat visit for Miss Janet. Janet, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Now, if you're rethinking about what to do, how to impact your property from the outside of your stem wall to the edge of your property line, if you're thinking about touching, modifying, or enhancing any of that space, this is your chance to call the show and let's talk about it. I want you, I don't like reading things on the radio, but Janet has published a book, and it is a book that's specifically designed to have the professional in the field is really a guide for them. But I've had a copy since you were on last, and I refer to it all the time before I go out in the yard.
Great.
I'm enjoying it.
Thank you.
In the book, there is one sentence that seems to me to epitomize Janet Weibel and her mission in life.
Wow.
let me read it to you. It is time that the aesthetic beauty of our plant materials, the functions they are intended to fulfill, and compositions created with them is appreciated and accentuated through better plant care practices. You must just drive down the road and throw up in your car all day long.
Not that bad, but, you know, tunnel vision.
yeah, very subjective, selected tunnel vision.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm guilty. I am as guilty as anybody about not knowing. When I finally did bring John to the house to trim up some mesquites, his first question is, who's been doing this?
Yep. Yeah. That's...
I told him Jennifer.
No.
But your book is really designed about giving some guidelines about how to properly care for plants that were properly selected for the proper location, for the proper effect, for the proper layering beauty of the whole scheme.
Exactly.
It's more than just wandering the aisles of a nursery.
Yes.
Deciding I like that plant, I'm gonna find some place to plug a hole in the ground.
Right. There's more to it than that.
And our article today kind of takes people through those steps. And I mean, when you're first coming onto a property for someone wanting to interview you or collect your ideas, how do you start them through the process? There's just so much to think about.
Well, we get to know about them, what their lifestyle is like, who they have at their property, and then we assess the space.
Not only who they have at the property, last hour we talked about backyard livestock.
Exactly.
Have you ever designed a space for a chicken coop or
a
sheep's quarter?
Yeah, not a sheep yet, but chickens and goats are very typical. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're fun. They're part of our life, and they need a place. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, the chicken rage that's caught on in the Arcadia district. Mm. I mean, they've got some pretty elaborate chicken coops in some of those backyards.
I'm sure. My neighborhood, too. We have chickens everywhere.
Golly.
It's great.
So you really have to think through, like you say, who's on the property, what function you want to get done on the property.
Right.
I love Greg Peterson's function of, you don't plant anything you don't eat.
That's a good philosophy. Right. Right.
You know, if you're going to water it, fertilize it, trim it,
might as well eat it.
Worry about it, sweat over it.
Just make sure it's not poisonous or too many thorns in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So you assess who's on the property.
And the space and who the what the neighbor's relationship is to the property, and privacy issues are a big request on almost every residential. A lot of people want help with the design to reduce the amount of water they're consuming. So one answer is to remove the grass, but there's a lot more to it if you just remove the grass. Irrigation systems and technology have advanced so much that sometimes you can remove some grass but keep grass and then update the irrigation system and do some soil improvements to really affect the amount of water needed on the soil.
It's a holistic,
whole
view
yes.
approach
yes.
that you call sustainable.
Sustainable,
and,
yes.
And I think one question you ask that probably doesn't get asked often enough by landscape designers is, who's going to care for this property when we're done?
Yeah, that's a big question.
That's the $64,000 question
yes.
right there.
Right. When people say they want a mesquite tree, which I love mesquite trees, the question comes up, it's like, well, their beans fall in July. Are you able to get those pods picked up in July and August? And so that's just a practical consideration. And I mean, that leads into, well, how much maintenance do you want to do? And do you have time to do it? And what's your tolerance for the leaf litter and the things that plants produce, which they do? What's your tolerance level for that? Some people just can't handle anything. And so you have to really pick your plant materials that can produce the results they want and work with the maintenance levels that they're going to either hire people to help them with or to do themselves.
Well, I'll have to say that's a dimension I haven't generally considered. I'll have people, okay, let's do bubble diagrams of what activity is going to happen in what section of the yard.
Right.
Here's the chicken coop. Here's the bocce ball. Right. Here's the sand volleyball court. Here's the barbecue outdoor kitchen area. Here's the swimming pool. Now let's design
right.
to go with those functions.
And that's an important step, yes.
But then ask your question, and I could come up with a lot of great designs for that, but then ask your question, now, how about in 10 years, who's going to be maintaining this?
Yeah.
That would change a lot of things at the drawing phase.
Right. And another thing is, you know, people forget or don't realize how big some plants get, and it becomes a maintenance nightmare if something has to be pruned just to maintain space on a walkway or clearance underneath. And it's just something to consider before you put that plant
in
the ground.
Well, it's like a Christmas tree. You know, they always look smaller at the
cute
Christmas tree lot until you get it home, and you know the trees always look smaller until you're growing it at your house.
Yeah, yep.
You're having to trim the trunk. You're having to top the tree. You're trying to do everything you can to get to fit into that 8-foot ceiling.
Exactly.
It looks 6 feet at the plant at the yard. So, the maintenance is an issue that needs to be thought of up front.
I think so.
That's a new dimension for me, and I think it's extremely valuable.
Time goes very fast. I mean, 5-10 years, you've got a full-size tree out there. They grow fast. And all of a sudden, you're having to prune something just to keep it out of the way. And that gets frustrating. And people don't enjoy their yards the way they could if they didn't have to do such regular maintenance.
I think to tie into that as well, you know, consider if you're planning on staying in that house a long time, you're going to change.
You know, absolutely.
Are you going to design it with that in mind? You know, you're going to make this huge project for yourself, but then you're older and slow down.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Something to think about.
Right. We are getting older. So if you're approaching 50 or over, you're getting older, and I guarantee you're going to slow down and not want to do as regular maintenance as you used to. And
sitting in my backyard, those 14-foot-tall oleanders that have provided us privacy in the backyard for 30 years, they're starting to look more and more like a block fence every day.
Which is great. And every plant has a function, and it's great to use that. But there are ways to maintain them periodically without hedging, shaping, shearing, and creating a tortured look for quite a while after, after someone does that.
Oh, so. you've been to my house. That's a great term, the tortured look. And there's so much poor trimming being done that ends up that way.
Well, it's a lot of habits or procedures are done because that's what they know how to do. And God love the folks that are out doing this work. We need them, and we want them to continue. But there are alterations you can do to your trimming to avoid that look. We'll use your oleander hedge, for instance, because a big topic in the book is called renovation pruning. I'll just give you the example. If you've got an oleander hedge and it's getting out of control and they need to be trimmed, well, instead of renovating all of them, then you get that tortured look.
Right.
Just renovate every third one or every other one and let those take those down to the ground, or 18 inches for an oleander, and then let those refresh, but you maintain the other plants in place, so you still have your screen, and then next year or the year after, when you feel like it,
okay,
take the alternate ones down, so you never lose that screening ability, a lot less effort, and the plants actually do better by doing that kind of a practice.
You can't be compulsive like Rosie. I start the chainsaw, baby, and it ain't good. I'm not turning it off till I get the end of that line down there.
Yeah, the chainsaw pruning is.
And when you get to the end of that line, I'm sure you load all them up in the back of your pickup truck and take them to the dump.
I do. My Sanderson Ford F-150. Only have purchased at Sanderson Ford for the last 30 years. They are completely open for business right now. They're double, triple cleaning everything. The showroom was always spotless. I mean, even the service bays in the back of Sanderson Ford were always clean. Now they're just impeccable. If you're looking for a great car value, they've got virtually every 2019 car on the lot can be had for 0% interest. That's free money. These are beautiful new vehicles just sitting there waiting for you to come down and slap your name on them. Get down to Sanderson Ford.
Or buy online, shop online, and they deliver. You can go to sandersonford.com, click around, find the car of choice. If you've already had a Ford, you know exactly what kind of vehicle you're going to get, so you don't have to worry about going test driving. You're going to get a great quality vehicle, and they'll deliver it to your door.